Captain's log, stardate 41590.5. Having dropped off Counselor Troy at Starbase G6 for a shuttle visit home, we were fortunately close to the Sigma 3 solar system when its Federation colony transmitted an urgent call for medical help. An accidental explosion has devastated a mining operation there.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We are going to continue our Let's Watch of Star Trek Next Generation here. We've got Hiding Q. Let me pull up what we're doing. Hiding Q is episode 10. It says episode 9 on Wikipedia, but it's actually episode 10 of season 1. Directed by Cliff Bohl, teleplay by C.J. Holland and Gene Roddenberry, and the story credit goes to C.J. Holland. And a little bit of trivia, C.J. Holland is actually the head writer, the pseudonym of Maurice Hurley, who was the head writer at the time. I guess there were a lot of pseudonyms used with these early scripts, I guess with rewriting situations. And Wikipedia says that this episode was actually a turning point for how the series was producing scripts. In a lot of the previous episodes, there were a lot of pseudonyms. I assume it was disagreements with Roddenberry. And a lot of writers seem to have problems keeping their scripts minimally affected by Roddenberry's heavy hand, it seems, at the time. So a lot of them would not want to take story credit. I don't know why that is. It seems strange. You wouldn't get the residual. Well, you must get residuals, actually. So I don't know. If everyone eventually figures it out, I don't really know what the point of having the pseudonym is. I guess you just make it less obvious that your episode is not what you consider it to be. It's a form of protest. So let's get to the plot. Excuse me. Get to the plot. And then after that, we'll come back with our thoughts. The USS Enterprise is en route to Quadra Sigma to aid colonists caught in a methane explosion when Q reappears and demands that they abandon their mission to compete in a game. He teleports Commander Riker and the bridge crew, with the exception of Captain Picard, to a barren landscape and appears in front of them whilst wearing a uniform from the Napoleonic era of France. He explains the rule of the game is to stay alive, and after Yar refuses to compete, he transports her back to the bridge of the Enterprise in a so-called penalty box. Q returns to the bridge too to talk to Picard into setting a wager. He explains that the Q continuum is testing Riker to see if he is worthy of being granted their powers. Picard, having the utmost faith in his first officer, takes the bet as winning it would mean to get the Q off of the backs of the Federation. Meanwhile, Riker and his team are attacked by what Lieutenant Worf reports as, quote, vicious animal things wearing French uniforms from the Napoleonic era, and they're armed with muskets that fire energy bolts instead of the classic bullets. Q returns to Riker and tells him that he's granted him the powers of the continuum, and Riker promptly returns his crewmates to the ship, but remains behind with the Q to ultimately reject their powers. Q brings the crew back to the landscape, this time without their phasers and with Picard. The crew are attacked once more by the bearded aliens, and both Worf and Wesley Crusher are killed. Riker accepts the powers of the Q and returns the Q crew again to the ship and brings both Worf and Wesley back to life. Riker makes a promise to Picard never to use his powers again, and the ship arrives at the Quadra Sigma. A rescue team beams down and discovers a young girl who has died. Riker is tempted to save her, but in the end he refuses to do so out of respect for his promise. However, he quickly shows signs of regret at the decision, which he expresses to the captain. Tension between Picard and his first officer grows as Riker now seems to be embracing his power. At Q's suggestion, Riker uses his power to give his friends what they supposedly want, turning Wesley into adult, giving LaForge his sight, and creating an affectionate Klingon female companion for Worf. They all reject the gifts, Data even halting Riker before getting to suggest giving him the ability of feeling and emotions. However, Picard declares that Q has failed to tempt a human to join the Q continuum, recalling the wager. Q removes Riker's powers and is forcibly recalled to the continuing, having failed his mission. Upon seeing the agony in Q's face, Picard cannot help but slightly gloat and praises Riker for confirming his trust in his number one. All right, that's the plot. These Wikipedia plot summaries are sometimes poorly written. I think they do with the hand of an editor. But anyway, after this little break, we're going to come back with our thoughts.
You have only one chance to save them now. Send them back to the ship.
You'll let me beam them?
Send them the same way I do. I've given you the power. Do you understand? I have given you the power of the Q. Use it.
Okay, so this episode is mostly known for the return of Q, who was last seen in Encounter at Farpoint. He was the first villain of the series, if you really want to call him a villain. He's kind of an anti-hero, sort of. He's not particularly villainous, but he's sort of interfering in Starfleet, or at least with the Enterprise. So let's start off with what I liked about this episode. We won't really need to go into the plot too much. Basically, Q abducts the Enterprise and gives Riker the power of the Q and to convince him to join the Continuum, and Captain Picard eventually sort of works his diplomatic magic and convinces Riker to stay behind with them and give up the power of the Q. So what I liked about this episode, I do like Q. I think he's a good character in the show. John Delancey, who plays the character, is excellent in it. He plays off Picard really well. He plays off Patrick Stewart very well. There's a sort of giddy, childlike nature to Q that plays well against Picard's stern exterior. Although I still feel that Picard gets a little bit too angry at Q. He hasn't really done anything yet, and Picard is still, or just starts to yell at him. I guess it makes sense judging by how they interacted previously, but it always strikes me as a little bit odd. Q is that friend that Picard always gets prematurely angry with, even before anything offensive has actually been said or done. I like the sort of background of the Q in this. I think they mentioned that Q is a part of a continuum in Encounter at Farpoint. And the continuum is brought back here. It's sort of revealed that the Q continuum is fearful of humanity's progress, which we'll get into later. And that's the reason that they're studying them. Although everything Q says is a lie, so it's hard to believe that this is actually the truth. Although it's implied in the episode, I think, to be the truth. And it's also kind of, I don't know if this is really a revelation, but it was sort of to me, it's the first time I think I noticed it, that the Q are not omnipotent. Nipotent. So let me type this in and make sure that I actually have the definition of omnipotent down correctly. If it is what I think it means, it's definitely what I'm talking about. Able to do anything. I suppose. What's the word for all-knowing? Word for all-knowing. Omniscient. Omniscient. That's it. Is that the word? Let me see this again. Omniscience. yes. So omniscient. So I was wrong. It is not omnipotent. He is omnipotent. They are not omniscient. So they don't know everything because they don't know the future. They don't know what humans are going to do. They also learn things, so they don't really know everything. They're sort of seen as all-powerful, I guess, because of the experience that they've gathered from the universe. But they do not actually know things that are outside of their ability to know, like Shakespeare and stuff. They actually have to read it. And I always considered them to be sort of godlike creatures. So it was a little bit surprising that they aren't all-knowing, which is interesting, I think, for them. It makes them, knocks them down a peg, I suppose. And I thought that was kind of a fascinating thing to learn about them. Although I think I might have already known it, but it's nice to bring it sort of into focus and see what they are capable of. So those were mostly the good things. I also liked Worf's performance in this. There's a good scene later where he pours out the drink in Q's face, which I thought was a nice touch to the character. After Q has given everybody lemonades or whatever they want to drink, Data doesn't want to drink anything at all, but Worf just snarls back and pours it out on the ground and then throws the glass very dramatically and breaks it. And I thought Worf's performance was pretty good in this one. It's actually the first time you see him be useful in battle, sort of. He's like a spy scout at a certain point of the episode where he goes and finds the French aliens or whatever they are. And he sort of sneaks up and is, you know, athletically running, and the other characters are marveling at how well he moves and how quickly and how well he can hide and everything. So I think it was really the first time that they've actually had Worf do anything besides get unnecessarily emotional and hostile to things that actually showed him to have abilities that the others could use. And in this case, it was basically his sort of spy warrior savvy. He's good at moving around and, you know, spying on people and collecting information about the enemy. So I thought that was good. Outside of that, the bad stuff, I'll go down the list until I get to what I think the big problem with the episode is. The bad stuff is Denise Crosby is a bad performance in this. When she gets beamed back to the ship, it is a combination of bad story and bad characterization and bad writing. When I was watching it, I thought she was under control of Q because she's acting so stilted and so oddly. And again, with the weird crying emotional breakdowns that the character is prone to have, even though her backstory is that she's this incredibly tough survivor of a rape gang planet. Her she breaks down extremely easily about everything, even more than Troy does, and it's a little bit annoying. It's a little bit, the acting doesn't help. She's not a great actress in this. It's a little bit distracting. She's supposed to be the chief of security and doesn't pull it together. The other good and bad thing, I guess, was the battle scene where it was kind of surprisingly violent, where Wesley Crusher dies. He gets stabbed through the back and out the front of his stomach. The fight scene is just kind of ridiculous. They didn't film it, obviously, very well, but I did like the fact that they actually died and Riker saved them. So that's kind of a 50-50 split. And the other other bit, although it's kind of funny, I think this episode's famous for the Riker line, "Those aren't muskets," which I feel like I run into that line somewhere. Is it part of a meme or something? Some kind of internet meme? I just remember that line, "Those aren't muskets." After they've... French aliens have been firing at them for what feels like 3 minutes. Riker just calmly responds, "Those aren't muskets," and he fires back, or this is Q power. So I guess the main bad thing with this story is it, I guess we'll break it down sort of easily. The major problem, I think, is that there's not much of a B story. The A story is, again, it's kind of a problem with all these early episodes. The directing and everything is interesting. They do a lot of shots that are very unique and interesting, especially to the first season. But the B stories are non-existent in this. The only one that really sticks out in any of the episodes so far was with the Sela and the other group, which was Lonely Among Us, I think, where they were bringing two warring factions to a planet to negotiate a peace treaty. And that was a true B story. It was a terrible B story, but at least it was there. This one's B story is basically everything that happens on the ship while the other people are on the planet. And eventually the B story just dovetails into the A story when everyone is brought back. And at that point, the pacing of the episode feels even more slow. I enjoyed the A story here of the people on the planet. I thought that was really well done. I enjoyed the Q sort of interactions with everything. I enjoyed all the stuff on the planet. The French thing was a little odd, but it's typical. That's sort of Q's thing to draw from historical stuff in the past and sort of bring it to life. But I guess my main issue is here where Riker gets the power of the Q, and going by what the story or what the show has shown us about humanity, I don't think it makes any sense at all how he reacts to getting this power. Picard is instantly against it and won't even allow him to bring people back to life that have died in sort of unfair deaths. And Picard, judging, you know, the whole point of the show so far has been that humanity is sort of great and humanity has come so far and humanity is basically superior morally. They're like the North Koreans of the galaxy at this point. They view themselves as superior, and they actually are superior because they don't run into any aliens that actually show a better moral center than humanity at this point. And it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially what we've seen of Riker's character. When he gets this power, he becomes immediately a dickhead to everybody. He's very smug, standing very proudly, and calling people by their first names, like he calls Picard Jean-Luc. And he becomes this immediate asshole getting this power that, you know, the theme of the show, I guess, is that power corrupts and whatever. The problem is that this has not been shown to be the case in any of humanity so far. Humanity is shown to be pretty perfect at this point. And Picard is not allowing him to use these godlike powers to help people or save things. And I can understand people not wanting the gifts at the end. That kind of makes more sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense that Riker couldn't use these powers to save people who died in a horrible explosion accident. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It makes Picard look to be uncaring, and it's not like it's not like it's the prime directive problem here. There's nothing that would affect anything other than bringing them back to life. And it seems like humanity at this point would be sort of blessed, for lack of a better term, to have someone with these abilities that could actually make, you know, you'd end peace, or you'd end wars, you'd bring about peace, you could cure diseases. You could do pretty much anything that you want, and you've shown so far that people are completely morally upright at this point. And Riker getting these powers seems so out of left field, and his characterization is so flawed at this point that he just drastically becomes an asshole. And the gifts he's offering are really not that bad. I feel like the story would have been better if there was some sort of true conflict between getting these powers. Like, if Q made a trade-off, he only gives the powers if something happens, that there's actually some sort of character debate that they have to think about, instead of just power corrupting, which is kind of a silly idea. So I guess to summarize what my problem is, that the power of the Q given to these people who are basically seem to be perfect at this point. They're not perfect, but they're pretty damn close. They're certainly more moral than anybody else, and they've never done anything directly offensive or upsetting or immoral. Them getting this power is seen as purely a hindrance, and they don't seem to appreciate all the good that would come from it. And the gifts at the end are kind of so minor in the scheme of things that you really need some other plot thing driving this as to why Riker would not want to take this ability. Like, it would even mean more if he couldn't return to the ship or something, or he had to leave forever. Like, that makes more sense to me than this sort of garbage excuse that power corrupts. And power corrupts might be a more interesting theme, but it doesn't make any sense in terms of this crew and what we know about them. So I think that's my main issue with the story. It's not a bad episode. I think it's one of the better ones from season one so far, but it's certainly a little bit plot weak and meandering at bits. Q is excellent, as always. I don't think we see him for a little while. We see him in season two, he returns, I think, with a somewhat famous episode for introducing new characters. And other than that, I just thought the breakdown of how the Q power is going to Riker was done was kind of weak. I think it's a really great idea. I think it's a strong idea for an episode. I'd like to see what the original script actually did with it. But as it stands now, it's a good idea that makes sense with what the Q are, and it's sort of an enticing thing to think about. But the way that it's presented and the production behind it doesn't make any sense in terms of how this group operates, the things that Riker could have done, the people he could have helped, and it doesn't make any one bit lick of sense, which is unfortunate because the idea is really cool, and the episode's okay, and Q's always good. So I had to think about this episode. I think I give this a... It's hard to say. I don't know if the plot weakness is enough to knock it down. I was thinking it was... The first half was a 3. I was really happy with it, and then the ending knocked it down. I don't really think it's a 2.5. I want to be kind of rare with how I give out the 0.5s. I think this is a 2 again. Yeah, I'll go with 2. I think it's a 2. The way that the plot unfolds sort of detracts from everything. There's some really strong points in the episode, but overall I think I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. If you didn't catch the last episode, I'm now doing a rating from 1 to 5, 5 being the best and 1 being the worst. So it's a 2. It's a weak episode, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. So let's see what we have here for other reception. So a bunch of reviewers have watched this after the end of the series. I haven't read any of this. I'm trying to stay away from knowing what other people have said as I watch these, because I was starting to go through and listen to podcasts, and I don't want to do that anymore. I think it affects how I view them. So these are me pretty much reading these cold. So excuse any sort of stuttering or whatever, much like in the plot synopsis where I had to read through this poorly written sentence. So Keith Candido from Tor thought that the plot was predictable, describing Riker being written as so paint by the numbers that the color is practically dripping off the screen. Yeah, I don't know if that, I might have to reread his review, but if he's talking about how broad Riker is, I think that's, I agree with that 100%. He praised the relationship between Q and Picard, saying that Delancey was having such fun with the role that the episode itself is also fun despite its flaws. I think I agree. He gave it a 5 out of 10, so he thinks it's a little better than me. Zach Hanlon rewatched it for the AV Club and thought it was an example where the TNG avoided characterization in favor of morality play, which, yes, I agree wholeheartedly. The characterization doesn't make any sense in terms of what the characters have shown to be. I talked about that kind of ineloquently for the past 10 minutes. He thought the episode was a mess, with the highlights being Picard reciting Shakespeare, which I think was the first time he's done that. They realized that Patrick Stewart's a Shakespearean actor, so they started to really dial in the Shakespeare that they could. And it's always, your show always seems a little bit deeper when you quote Shakespeare. He gave the episode a C-. Will Wheaton reviewed it. He described Lancey in the role of Q as brilliant casting and masterful acting. He thought that the episode was reminiscent of the original series and had some good points. However, he thought the script had characters lecturing the viewer based on the idea that ultimate power will lead to corruption. Yeah, which it goes in hand with the morality play thing. So, yeah, that is it for Hiding Q, the Star Trek episode number 10 of season 1. Episode 10 of the entire series, I think, right? Too? Yeah, obviously in season 1. So, yeah, that's Hiding Q. It was an okay. I give it a 2. But it was definitely an improvement. I can't give it a 3. It is a 2, but I think it's a strong 2. Maybe I'll write that in my notes for the end. But yeah, thank you guys for watching, listening. If you liked it, please leave a like, leave a comment, do all that nonsense. I am having a lot of fun doing these things. I like these episodes. And I think we're going to come back next time with Haven, episode 11. And we'll have a guest on that show. So that'll be good to do. Good to have other people's perspectives on this. And I thank you again for listening. I'll see you next time.